we don't look back. You know, there's one in the Bible, look back. She became a pillar of salt. There's some things within her heart that was dear to her. She couldn't see herself leaving them. But we thank God that we have no look back spirit this morning. Thank God we got a spirit to go forward. But I got one drive, that's forward. But remove the reverse drive. Remove the reverse gear. Make sure there's nothing there. Make sure you don't even give a thought to a digressing or a reversing gear. No thought whatsoever. But we are in this thing to stay. My brother said, look, this is I'm in this thing for the long haul. On to the end. On to the end. Therefore, Lord, help me not to allow anything to stop me along the way. Brother, the enemy got to bring some bulldozers trying to stop you. But glory to God. We'll go right through bulldozers, thank God. With God by your side, but we'll go through anything. Through anything. There's some things that will seem insurmountable. But by God's help, by God's grace, we're going to go through. But we got to do like we must do. Like the children of Israel, what a great example. When they were going around the walls of Jericho, they were shouting, even though the walls had not yet come down. Why? Because this is a sure victory, brethren. A certain victory. Right. Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. The certain victory. There's no excuse for failure. Thank God we don't ever have to fail God. There is no, the songwriter so well puts it, there is no failure in God. None failure is in man's, is man's part, but not in God. So don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't you do that. Thank God we've got everything good going for us. Even if it looks like it's not good, it's good. The Bible says, all things work together for good. All things. It doesn't matter if it looks like you are the underdog. It doesn't matter if they're taking advantage. Don't worry about that. You just make certain you glorify God. Make sure you keep the right spirit. Make sure you keep the right attitude. For we will always, righteousness always prevails. Prevails always. The Bible says the gates of hell cannot prevail over the church. This morning, we'd like to challenge your hearts in the word of God. Read for me, please, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. Hopefully, everyone can see this.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren.
I am begging you. I am begging you, brethren. So he's speaking to brethren. He's begging the brethren. He's imploring them. I'm begging you. I'm begging you, brethren.
By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice.
By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Your bodies. A living sacrifice.
Holy.
Holy.
Acceptable unto God.
Acceptable unto God.
Which is your reasonable service.
Which is your reasonable service. So what is it we have to present? Our bodies. Not what you possess. Mm-mm. Your body. What does that mean? Present my body as a living sacrifice? Does that mean I got to be burned on the altar? What does that mean? Well, it's going to take us a little time to go through the scripture here to help us to understand the depth of the meaning of what it means to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. Your God will not ask us to do anything that is impossible. He has made provision for us. His goal, his desire is that, the Bible tells us, he's not willing that any man perish. Not one. But it's your choice. If you perish, it's your choice. If you make it, it's your choice. So we have decisions in life to make. There's some hard times along life's pathway. And we have to go through them. Because the same thing The same hard time is what's going to make you. The same difficult time is what's going to make you. God wants to make you. So our topic this morning, God's image restored. God's image restored. And our subtopic, the altar of sacrifice. The altar of sacrifice. The ancient tabernacle was a figure of the church of God, as well as the temple. Okay, the ancient tabernacle. It had two altars. The brazen altar and the golden altar. Okay? And those signify Christ. Okay? As well as the two veils. As well as the two veils, a veil here and a veil there. Okay? Now, what was the purpose of the altar? So this, the brazen altar stood within the court of the tabernacle, and the golden altar was in the holy place, within the holy place. This holy place here is signifying a justified life, and the most holy place, which is where God dwelt. Okay, let's turn over, please, to Exodus 27. So let us stay focused and let's not allow ourselves to get distracted. Exodus 27. Read for me, please, verses 1 and 2.
And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horn shall be of the same. Thou shalt overlay it with brass. And thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels, and his basins.
Okay, that's good. So this brazen altar, which is in the court, which is in the court right here, where the children of Israel dwelt. It was also considered the altar of burnt offering, okay, which is where the animal was burnt and blood was poured, okay? So on this brazen altar was sprinkled the blood and were burnt the bodies of animals as sacrifices to God for the sins of the offerers, okay? And between the brazen altar and the tabernacle, you had the laver, where the priests who ministered had to wash prior to going into the tabernacle, for if they did not wash, then they would die, okay? And that also, symbolica, we'll turn to that scripture there so we can get a little better understanding. So the altar in the court represents the point of the penitent surrender, okay? It also typified Christ, okay? These two altars, as well as the veil. Now, let us turn over to Exodus 30. Read for me, please, 18 to 21.
Thou shalt also make a laver of brass.
Okay, this is this right here. A laver of brass, right? Go ahead.
And his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat, when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation. They shall wash with water.
They shall wash with water.
That they die not.
That they die not. So in other words, in order for them to enter into the holy place into the holy place, the penitent. Now they are ministering for those, for the sinners. Okay. Now, all that they did, all this ritual and ceremonies, they really did not understand what they were doing. But we today have such a good understanding, because this here is a type. Okay. So they had to wash with water that they die not. Or, and when they come near to the altar to minister, the burnt offering made by fire unto the Lord. Verse 21.
So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations.
So no man could enter the tabernacle. Just the same way, Jesus is the door. Let us turn to Titus 3, verse 5. The word of God is what washes us. Titus 3, verse 5.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration.
By the washing of regeneration.
And renewing of the Holy Ghost.
In order to enter, we must be washed. We must be washed. We were once unregenerated. But thank God that we have been regenerated. Thank God we have been made anew. This is why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We had to humble ourselves before God, and we had to offer up sacrifice. Say, Lord, I am sorry. We had to surrender when the animal was brought to the brazen altar. I tell you, first of all, his throat had to cut his throat so the blood could gush out, and he would collect the blood. This animal did not want to die. Did not want to die. Okay? Jesus willingly gave himself, willingly for you and I. We must willingly. God will not force any one of us to do anything. This is a loving service. It's a life of sight, a loving service. We must surrender ourselves unto God on the altar, sacrifice, surrendering. So here, as you read again, please, verse 5.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us.
According to his mercy. Thank God for mercy. Brother, we all know good. We came in here undone, messed up, down low, ready to give up on life. Well, God restored some marriages that were on the rocks. Well, we were about to say, forget it. It's not worth living. I am tired. But that's how God said it. We got tired. We got tired of sin. His mercy. But if God were not merciful, none of us would be in there. So when you deal with people, deal with mercy, please. We have to learn to be merciful. As God is merciful, don't be so quick to lay down judgment. Think about how you were. There's some raising teenagers. But I remember the time I had to sit back and think, how was I as a teenager? How was I? So Lord, help me to deal with my children. Let me remember where I came from and the attitude that I had. Maybe I didn't show out that open rebellion, but how was it on the inside? Remember how you were? Well, we quickly drive them to the ground, drive their heads to the ground and rub it in the dirt. But Lord, help us to be merciful, to be merciful. As thou, Lord God, are merciful. According to his mercy, he saved us.
By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Six.
which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Verse 7.
That being justified by him.
Oh, glory to God. Being justified by, brother, justified by his grace.
We should be made heirs.
Oh, glory to God.
Eternal life.
Which one of us deserve this? We're undeserving. I think it was that financial advisor. You're calling a show, and people ask, "How you doing?" He says, "Better than I deserve. Better than I deserve." But we ought to have a heart of gratitude, a heart of appreciation. Let us be appreciative of what the Lord has done for us. Be really appreciative, brother. Sometimes you feel like you got nothing. Oh, you have a whole lot. You got a whole lot to thank God for. A whole lot. Don't worry. You may not have any money in your pocket, but are you saved? Are you in your right mind? Is there a desire to do that which is right? Lord, I want to be right. I want to do right. I want to think right. But you better thank God. But you could have been down in a prostitute house. You know how many people got drunk last night? You know how many people have committed overdose last night? We got a lot to thank God for. A lot to thank God for. We're gonna see the sacrifice is our lift, the Bible says. The sacrifice is our lift, giving praise to God Almighty. But you must come in here with a heart, not only a heart of praise, but it must come from your mouth. That's what the saints of God do. They praise God because God gives them victory. You must praise God. It is calmly. You got to praise God. If you're not praising God, so I'm telling you, you're shortchanging God. I'm a proof to you. I'm a proof to you by the word of God, what God says we must do as far as praising him. As we go on, the Lord allows me time. How important it is to praise the living God. Your life ought to be a life of praise. Never a moment should you allow yourself to not praise God. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Don't tell me. Jesus praised God as he was going through. Was there ever a time that he was sad? He was sad because of the condition of mankind. But that was a weight upon his shoulder. That was a weight upon him. He praised God. The Bible tells us that's what we ought to be doing, praising God. But even if your mouth is shut, brother, you can jump. Glory to God, you better jump. But if you can run, you better run. If you can leap, you better leap. But don't come in here and not praise God for all that he's done. But you today could have been a quadriplegic. You could have been a handicapped on a wheelchair. You today could have been blind. You could then have no voice, have no strength. Somebody got to do everything for you. You say, "What's a man twice a child?" You better praise God. As long as victory in your soul, you have not sinned. You got victory over the enemy. You better praise God. Yeah. Oh, praising God is what we do. Amen. Is what we do. Amen. What we do. Brief one, please. Numbers 1, verse 50. Who are the ones to be able to minister in the tabernacle? Numbers 1, verse 50 tells us.
But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony and over all the vessels thereof. And over all things that belong to it.
Okay.
They shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof. And they shall minister unto it and shall encamp round about the tabernacle.
Only. It says, thou shalt appoint the Levites. You know why Uzzah died? When he tried to help the cart? Huh? Because they didn't follow God's order. You got to do things according to the word of God. You got to do it to a T. God is a very detailed God. I'm telling you, once you deviate from God's detail, you are off the word, whether you're going to make shipwreck. It doesn't matter how minute the detail is. When he gives detail to build the tabernacle to Moses, Moses followed every single detail. He gave the color of everything. He gave the rings, everything, the stage, everything God gave him, how he must do it. And the Bible says that God, Moses did what God said. He did what God said. And he says the Levites are the ones to minister in and around the tabernacle, only the Levites. The priests, we do know Aaron was a high priest. Okay, he was a high priest that went once a year to offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people. Only the high priest was able to do that. The Levites, the regular priests, not the high priest, were only able to offer on the brazen altar. Only on the brazen altar. The Bible tells us we are kings and priests unto God. Let me give you some scripture for that. Read for me, please, 1 Peter 2. Verse 5.
Ye also, as lively stones, are built
up a spiritual. You what? Lively. Glory to God. So don't come in here dead. Don't come in here sad. Don't come in here hung down. Ye also, as lively stones, that if you fail to praise God, I say, it'll make the rocks to cry out. You also, lively stones,
are built up a spiritual house. And holy priesthood.
A holy priesthood. Look, you got to be holy. A holy priesthood to do what?
To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
See, spiritual. We're not offering lambs and goats anymore for the atonement. Okay? We're not doing that anymore. The old covenant. Now we are in the new covenant. Jesus Christ has come. Okay? Jesus fulfilled the law. We're no longer under the old dispensation. This was the old dispensation. This is a figure of the true tabernacle. Okay? Which is the church of the living God. So the priesthood was the ministry of worship at the tabernacle. Okay? So we must understand that we today are kings and priests. To offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual. Let's turn to another scripture. I didn't write this down, but I have it in memory. It's found in Revelation. It should be somewhere in Revelation 1. You are kings and priests unto God. I know it's staring at me in the face.
6.
Read that, please. And you shall make us kings.
Uh-huh. And have made us kings and priests unto God.
Who has made us kings and priests? Read verse 5.
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
There you go. He washed us. He washed us. Brother, you know we're dirty? Man, we're filthy, filthy rags. He washed us.
And have made us kings and priests.
He washed us from our sins in his own blood. I tell you, salvation is free, but it is not cheap. It cost God the death of his very dear son. Do not take it for granted what the Lord has done for you. Please don't do that. And hath made us, verse 6.
And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever.
Amen. He made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him. To who? To me? No, to him. All glory belongs to God. It doesn't matter what you can do so well. It doesn't matter how articulate. It doesn't matter what your educational status or credentials, your doctor of this and a doctor of that, or whatever you can do. God be the glory. If God was able to use you through good works, which you have to have good works and maintain good works, to be able to supply all the needs of the brethren who are in need, but still, God gets all the glory. And you should never lift yourself up for anything. But we are made out of dirt. Brother, no glory belongs to us. It doesn't matter how great a message I can preach, whether 5 or 10,000 can get saved, I am still nothing. No matter how eloquent you are. It doesn't matter how great you are with the stocks. And it doesn't matter whether you're Jeff Bezos. It doesn't matter whether what company you own that has the shares of $1,000 or $22,000 a share. It doesn't matter. All things belong to God. Whatever you own, you're going to leave it. God's not asking you to sacrifice your possessions. If you have the right heart, everything will be done the right way. So these two altars represent Christ, our salvation. These two altars right here. This golden altar, we'll get to, admits us access. Do you remember when Jesus expired on the cross? The Bible says that the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And when that happened, it gave you and I immediate access to the very throne of the living God. But we don't need to go to some Catholic priest and kneel down and ask him to forgive me of my sins. We cannot do that. He needs to go to God himself. For through Jesus Christ, we have access to the throne of God. But you've got to be justified, glory to God. You've got to offer up, forsake sin, every bit of sin. You got to sell out. Otherwise, God can't save you. You can't hold on to some sin and let go of some sin. But God knows everything. God knows if in your heart if you let go. God knows if your heart if you're holding on to a little something. That's just not right. You'll never receive what God has for you. Never. Brethren, do you realize that you and I have access to God? Let me prove it to you. Let's go over to Ephesians. Chapter 2, verse 18.
For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
Bless the Lord. For through Jesus Christ we both have access, Jews and Gentiles, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Spirit of God. By one Spirit unto the Father. Read from, please, Ephesians 3, verse 12. Same chapter.
In whom we have boldness.
Glory to God.
And
in whom,
access.
See? In whom we have boldness. And what gives us that boldness? The confidence. What gives that boldness? Hold on to that scripture. What gives us the boldness? Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3.
And hereby we do know that we know him.
We do know that we know him. Why?
If we keep his commandments.
Glory to God. That gives us the boldness, the confidence, because we keep his command. Everything he has told us in his word, we are doing that. As far as my role as a husband, am I doing everything that God says? As a wife, are you doing everything that God says? As a lady, are you doing everything? Are you in your place? Is your spirit right? Is your attitude right? Is your disposition right? Is everything you give your eyes to look at, is it right? Or is there anything contrary to the word of God that you're looking at? Is there any content of what you're reading that is not of a holy content. Whatever you're reading, whatever you're looking at, would Jesus put that before his eyes? Can you see Jesus sitting there reading the same book with you? Can you see him looking at the same video you look at? Huh? Can you see him playing the same game that you play on your computer, on your phone? Can Jesus play that game with you? If he cannot, you're doing the wrong thing. Yes. That's why David says, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Can you see Jesus sitting there looking at pornography with you? Really? You see Jesus with an evil tongue? Do you see Jesus with a malicious spirit? Do you see Jesus like that? No! Brother, the boldness that we have is because of the confidence through obedience to the word. That's where we get the boldness before God. So it says here, back in Ephesians 3, in whom? 3:12.
In whom we have boldness and access mm-hmm. with confidence by the faith of him.
Glory to God. Boldness and access with, brother, do not take that word confidence out. Obeying God brings about confidence. It brings confidence. So therefore, now having faith and confidence, whatever we face, God will see us through all the time. I said all the time. Your life is right. Life is right before God. Do you realize the sacrifice that had to be offered back there in the Old Testament? During the mosaic system, the sacrifice had to be perfect. It had to be without blemish. If it was missing a leg, God would not accept it. It had to be perfect. There could not have been anything, any defect on that animal. God would not accept it. Christ, we thank God. The Bible says the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. This offering, brethren, when we come before God, we offer ourselves a living sacrifice. Now, there are many who talk about dedication. There's a dedication to God. Once you get saved, you're washed. Your life is cleansed by the word. Okay? You're washed. God saves you. Okay? In order to be sanctified, there's the offering up of yourself that must be done. This altar is called a golden altar, which also typifies Christ. It's also called the altar of incense. We'll read that. Let's turn over to Exodus 30, verses 1 to 6. Exodus 30, verses 1 to 6.
Thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shalt be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof. And thou shalt make it unto it a crown of gold round about, and two golden rings shalt thou make to it mm-hmm. under the crown of it by the two corners thereof. Upon the two sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee.
Ah. right here before the mercy seat. It's a mercy seat right here. Where I will what? Meet with the old saints of God. God wants to have fellowship with his people. The Bible says we worship God in spirit. Okay? We worship God with our spirit. And we worship God in spirit and in truth. Okay? We're offering up spiritual sacrifices. We'll get to that soon. What are these spiritual sacrifices? The Bible says present your body. Talking about dedication. Dedication is presenting your body. When this animal was placed on the altar, you know what happened to that animal? The animal died. It died. It didn't come back to life. It died on the altar of sacrifice. Continue reading for me, please.
And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it.
Incense is a type of prayer. You can write this down, but we'll not go to it. Psalms 141 verse 2 says, let my prayer be set forth as an incense sweet, and in lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Okay, this was also considered the incense altar. Okay? Keep going, please.
And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations.
You know, the Bible says men ought what? Always to pray and not faint. This is why it says here, Aaron lighted the lamps at even, and he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord. Our brethren, the life of a saint, the life of a Christian is a life of prayer. There can be no dedication of your life. I mean, no dedication. Formal prayers do not reach the throne of God. You know how many people call themselves Christian today? Multitudes call themselves Christians. And how many are living and whose lives are dedicated to the Lord, making certain that nothing, no profanity comes out of their mouths, making certain every conduct, every behavior glorifies God. There's a level of dedication, brethren. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, which is your reasonable service. So under the new covenant, we are all made priests unto God, every one of us. So then we can enter into the holy place. But to enter into the most holy place, there's an offering up of yourselves. This is where the sanctification comes in. What is that all about? What is that all about? Let's turn to 1 Peter. 2. One second. Read for me, please, in verse 1.
Wherefore, laying aside all malice.
Wherefore, laying aside, you cannot have malice and be in fellowship with the Almighty. Laying aside all malice. Go ahead.
And all guile.
And all guile. The Bible says about Nathanael, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile.
And hypocrisy.
Lay aside all hypocrisies. Did not Jesus call the religious leaders of his day? You hypocrites, you generations of vipers. You make people twice the child of the devil. He said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Why was he saying that leaven means corruption? Beware of the doctrine of corruption. Beware, beware, beware. Man, Jesus, no joke. He called him right out, you hypocrite. You call yourself something, but you're not. You are only a shell with no substance. That's all you are. People say something, all of a sudden you get bent out of shape. Your spirit's not right. Look, though anyone can identify. You can identify an apple tree, can't you? Well, you can identify a mango tree, right? Can you identify a Christian? How you identify a Christian? By the fruit. That fruit, that action. So if you're a hypocrite, you're not a Christian. If you have not laid aside all malice, are you a Christian? You have not laid aside all hypocrisies, are you a Christian? You are identified by your action. You know the Bible says, even a child is known by his action. You can't be holy sometimes and unholy another time. So you're saying God can't keep you from being holy? God can't keep you from acting? From living, conducting your life in a holy fashion? All the time? Under any circumstances of life? Doesn't matter how pressed you are. Anyway, oh, I have no money. I just lost my job. Even he can't keep you and help you find a job. What did he say in Psalms 90? What was it? All cattle. Everything's mine. If I were hungry, I don't have to ask you. Everything is mine. God says. Yes, cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything is mine. If you have a need, do you know God says he'll supply your need? Do you have faith in God? The Lord Jesus says, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Do you trust God for all things? Do you incorporate him in every minute detail of your life? You have to cultivate this. You have to cultivate incorporating God in every detail. You're looking for a job. Incorporate God in it. Somebody's giving you a hard time and you're trying to do it. Incorporate God in it through prayer. Your neighbor's giving you a hard time. Incorporate God in it. Tell God about it. Lord, you know how the neighbor's throwing garbage in my yard. Help me to get the right spirit, Lord. Lord, you know how my neighbor is speaking bad of me. But Lord, you know how I behave. You know how I act. Help me to act even sweeter. Incorporate God in everything. My car's giving me trouble. Incorporate God in your car. My God, come on. Because you know what happens when you do that? God comes through. Do you know what that does to your faith? See, we're looking for big things. Look now. How are you going to go through the big things when you can't even deal with the little things? See, this is why we must remember always pray and not faith. What we're doing, we're cultivating and we're getting ground with God. And God brings me through this test because I've incorporated, I'm looking for him to deliver. He brings me through, but it builds up my spiritual belt, my spiritual notches. It gives me a history with the Lord. This is why David was able to face Goliath, because when he went through, you got to go through the test now. Don't fail your test. Don't fail your test. This is why it's so important to go through your test and come out victoriously. It doesn't matter how you feel, how bad you feel, or you feel like you're in a rock in a hard place. Nobody understands me. No. Listen, God understands everything. Okay? God understands everything. You just make sure you keep the right spirit and the right attitude. Laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies. What else?
And envies.
Oh, Lord.
And all evil speaking.
This is the word of God. And envy. Listen, lay aside all these things. What is envy? Laying aside envy. Envy is pain, uneasiness, mortification, or discontent. excited by the sight of another, another superiority or success accompanied with some degree of hatred or malignity, and often usually with a desire or an effort to depreciate the person, and with pleasure in seeing him depressed. That's poison. You're actually going to cook your own self. It's like putting a scorpion in a circle of fire. Why must we put away all these things? We want God to hear us. That's why. We want to have confidence. You cannot harbor something that is contrary and be able to have sweet fellowship with the Master. It's impossible. You cannot do it. This is why we come to the house of the Lord, to learn and to become like him. And the Word of God tells us how we ought to be. That's why we're reading from the Word. It's not my thoughts. That's God's thoughts. Laying aside all malice. I can't be vindictive against anybody and expect God to hear me. It's not going to happen. When people want to see me die on my job, have 10,000 pounds over my head, when they should warn me that they're moving this truck that's 10,000 pounds, do I have a desire to kill them because they want to kill me? When they killed Jesus, they said, God forgive him. When they killed Stephen, they said, God forgive him. How was he able to do that? There had to be presenting your body a living sacrifice. We're going to get to that. The depth, the level of dedication and spirituality that we must have in order to glorify God. We have to understand what we are doing. It's your body. Uncle Sam says, I want you. God says, I want you and nothing else. You're not looking for your house. You're not looking for your money. God says, I want you. Why? Because I says, I've got people out there dying and seeing. God, when Jesus left, you know what he said? Listen, I got Peter down there. I got Paul down there. I got them down there to carry on. This is the church of God is an extension of the work. It's an extension. That's all it is. So we have to be living Bible on the earth to carry on God's work. How am I going to carry God's word? It's an impossibility if I have malice, hypocrisy, evil speaking. Look what it says here. Look, before going to no born, envy springs from pride. So many different faces of pride. Whenever anyone is not submissive, there's pride that keeps them from doing it, from being submissive. It's pride. There's some people who will not get saved because they're just too proud. I was giving a gentleman some money because I saw he was in a terrible situation, terrible condition, homeless. He didn't want the money. I said, man, you're homeless and you're proud. You think you're not proud? Think again. God said, there cannot be any pride in you. No pride whatsoever. I don't want your help. I'm going to do it myself. Pride. You're going to suffer. When this individual could really help you, you're going to suffer. You just submit. Just get the help. Envy springs from pride, ambition, or love. Mortify that another, or love, mortify that another has obtained what has a strong desire. You have a strong desire to possess. To envy, there's no greater crime. No crime is so great as to excel. Envy does not want to see the individual excel. You got to put away these things. Read for me, please, verse 2.
As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word.
You see? The sincere milk of the word.
That you may grow thereby.
If there is something people do very least of, is to read and to study. This is the means by which you must gain not only the knowledge, we must understand what this warfare is about. How can you serve God when you don't know what the Word of God says? You are clean through the Word of God, the Bible says. How can your eyes become enlightened? How can you discern the enemy? How can you see the enemy's strategy? How he strategizes? As someone in Sunday school said this morning, oh, great people who God so used and they fell. Oh, that is true. And it will continue to happen. But let's make sure it doesn't happen to you. Let's make sure it doesn't happen to you. God has everything in the Word of God for us to excel, to progress, to succeed. He gave Joshua the formula to succeed. In Joshua 1, don't read that, please. In Joshua 1, it gave Joshua the formula. It said, the formula says, observe to do all that God says. I'm paraphrasing, okay? And it says, meditate day and night. You see what people don't do? What? What do you meditate? Day and night, day and night. David said, oh, how I love thy law. How I love this. Oh, how I love to do this. I love your judgments. I love your precepts. Oh, Lord, open up my eyes. Keep me, Lord. Oh, right here, right here, right here. If you don't know this, I tell you, you'll see all the booby traps of the enemy if you know this. God will give you such discerning eye, such wisdom. The Bible says he giveth wisdom. How did Solomon get his wisdom? He asked God. You're not going to get wisdom without studying this. Because Deuteronomy says, this is your wisdom. Glory to God. This is your wisdom. Wisdom is applied knowledge. The wisdom to speak the right word at the right time. Oh, at the right time. Wisdom. Therefore, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Why?
That you may grow thereby.
I tell you, this word will fatten you up. I've seen my wife breastfeed all my children. Let me tell you, they were fat and pressing at the seam. I'm telling you, press. The legs, the necks, everything. That quality of milk to the newborn this year. If you drink this, drink it, drink it, drink it, eat it, eat, digest it, assimilate it, turn it over. Oh, you'll become a stalwart. Then you're gonna go from eating, drinking milk to eating meat. And you'll have to be able to, that your senses can be able to exercise, can be exercised, to be able to distinguish, discern good and evil. Continue, please.
If so, be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also,
as lively stones,
are built up a spiritual
house. Oh, thank God, are built up a spiritual house. We are a house in building. You got to make sure, young people, you build that foundation right. Don't play around with that. If you don't build it right, you don't do according to the word of God, you don't lay aside all evil, all hypocrisy, all evil speaking, your communication, be careful of your communication. Be careful of jesting. Be careful when you're joking. The Bible says, be holy in all matter of conversation. Be careful what you put before your eyes. Listen, some people are bold enough to show you their dirty pictures on their, they're bold enough to, you're bold enough to show me dirty pictures. Let me be bold enough to tell you, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. Be bold enough. Stand up for what's right. Get a backbone in your soul. They're bold enough to walk half naked. I'm be bold enough to be well clad. Glory to God. Modesty. Why do you want to roast her? Because I want to and I love to. Glory to God. Tell them.
Amen.
That stops everybody in the tracks.
Amen.
It stops you in the tracks. I like it. I love it.
Glory.
If they want to know more, they'll ask you. The Bible tells us in Romans 12, present your bodies. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Let us turn over to Romans 6, verse 19.
I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness. And to iniquity, unto iniquity.
Uncleanness, filthy, morally impure, foul, filthy, unchaste, obscene, as you have yielded your members unto what? Uncleanness,
And to iniquity, unto iniquity.
This is what we did. Yes. Keep on.
Even so, now yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness.
Glory be to God. Even now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness. Do you realize your tongue is a member? Did you know that? Your tongue is a member. This is a member. There's so many ways we use our members. We use our members unto unrighteousness. But now God says, unto holiness. Unto holiness. The scripture says in Zechariah 13:1, don't read that. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. I'm telling you, the word of God watches you. There's a fountain open in the house of the Lord. There's a fountain. But when it pierced Jesus, out came water and blood out of sight. God says, by one offering, he had perfected forever. One offering, that was Jesus Christ. This is why we don't have to go back to sin. This is why we don't make a mistake in sin. No. God can keep me. An arithmetic mistake is not sin, okay? If I trip and fall, that's not sin. Okay? Sin is to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not. That's what the Bible says in James 4:17. To him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not. Continue reading, please. For when you were?
Ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Mm-hmm. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin.
Being made free. Look, this is in the word of God. But now being made free from sin.
And become servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness.
Your fruit are your actions, your ways. You know, your attitude is also a fruit. Your attitude could be sinful. And it can be holy. Your attitude, your disposition can be very unbecoming of Christ. It could be very unbecoming. So your disposition can either welcome people or repel people. Was the disposition of Christ one of that repelled? No. Your disposition counts because God wants us to maintain good works. Jesus went about doing good wherever he went. When I present my body as a living sacrifice, I go around doing good wherever I go. There's no bound to it. It's boundless. That's my purpose in life. To do good. We'll read that. Deadness to sin. Keep reading, please.
And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay. Crucifixion. When the animal was sacrificed, it meant death to the animal. There was no longer activity in that, the life of that animal. Understand that? No longer any activity. Whatever animal was sacrificed upon the altar, there's no longer any life. However, with us, it is different. When we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, it paves the way to life. It is life. Okay? So that means that this animal, when it died, it was over with. It's separated. There was no longer any existence of this animal. However, with us, the Bible says, when crucified with Christ, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Jesus was nailed to the cross. The cross was his altar. I'm crucified with Christ. Though I become dead, it's no longer me on board anymore. You see me, but it's not me. You see my actions, but it's not me. But it's Christ that's living through me. Though you speak evil of me, I react. But it's not me. But it's Christ I allow to act through me, through the death of him on the cross, of me on the cross. The old man is dead. The old man is dead. This is what this dedication is about. The offering of my body, a living sacrifice. I said a living. When that sacrifice was given, it was dead. But the offering up of my body, my members, and all that I possess becomes his. Did you get that? Everything that I own, the Lord now becomes my owner. So everything that the word says, I say, yes, Lord. Everything the Lord shows me, I say, yes, Lord. The moment I don't say yes, Lord, it negates my experience. The moment that I don't say yes to the word of God, I'm in trouble. Soul is in trouble. We are not crucified to be destroyed, but to be a living sacrifice. Read for me, please, Ephesians chapter 5, begin from verse 1.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love.
Hold
as
on. We ought to do what? Walk in love. Love and hatred are opposites. Walk, the Christian must walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Keep going, please. And have
given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor.
Oh Lord, a sweet smelling savor. Let me ask you a question today. What emanates from you? Is it a sweet smelling savor? Is it a sweet fragrance? Is the action, what you just exhibited, what you just manifested, is it a sweet smelling savor? The way you just acted, is it sweet smelling savor? Was it a holy disposition? Keep going, please.
But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints.
Brethren, all but fornication and all uncleanness. Again. The Bible says, or covetousness. There's a spirit of greed, a spirit of a wanting spirit. I want. We're living in a day, in an age where it's an age, a materialistic age. People want. Wait, the iPhone's going to come out sometime in October. They don't need a phone, but I want it. Be careful of that spirit. Young people can't keep any money in their pockets because they want to show off. I want to show off to my friends what I got. The spirit of fashion. There's nothing you want in your car, but I want a new car. Some people got clothes for the next 25 years, as long as they don't become physically challenged, that is. They've got clothes for the next 25 years. Some don't have to buy shoes for the next 25 years. Walked to my sister's closet. She looked like she had about, I'm not exaggerating, at least 20 boxes of shoes. Wow. You don't ever have to buy again. Be careful of the spirit of covetousness. It says, put these things away. Let it not once be named among you. Ananias is right, I had a covetous spirit. Covetous spirit. I want. I'm not satisfied. Keep going, please.
Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient.
These instructions from the word of God. Instructions. Foolish talking. I can eat a cow right now. Foolish talking. No, you can't. Just say, I'm so hungry. That's it. That's good enough. Foolish talking, nor jesting, which are what?
Which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks.
There we go. But rather what? Is what we should be doing? Doing what? Oh, giving glory to God. Thanks. Here we go. Giving of thanks. That's what we should be doing as saints. Keep going.
For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God.
No covetous man, who is an idolater. Why are you covetous? It's your idol. Keep on.
Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.
Okay, that's good. Let us turn over to Hebrews 13, please. We're still talking about the altar of sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Hebrews 13, verse 15, please.
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise
okay.
to God.
By him, therefore, let us, the people of God, offer the sacrifice of praise to God. There are 3 points here. A sacrifice of praise to God. Go ahead.
Continually.
Continually means all the time. You haven't been doing that? Why not? Sin lieth at the door. Sin lieth at the door. Mm-hmm. You have not been offering a sacrifice of praise? Sin lieth at the door. But I am therefore, let us offer
the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
Okay, let's go on to that. We're going to look into that for a little bit. The sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the what? The fruit. So it's a sacrifice. Sacrifice of praise to God continually.
the fruit of our lips. The Lord gave us lips to praise him, to use the right words, to encourage and not to criticize. Those lips and the tongue within your oral cavity is to help build, to encourage people, not to berate, not to demean, not to ostracize. The sacrifice of our lips giving praise to God. Psalms 50, verse 23.
Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me.
Uh-huh.
And to him that ordereth his conversation aright,
wow, I
will I show the salvation of God.
Conversation aright? Whoso offereth praise does what? Glorifieth me, the Almighty.
For God to be glorified by your praise, your life's got to be right. You can praise God with your lips and your life is not right. It's not accepted. Cain and Abel, they both had the same opportunity, but one sacrifice was not accepted, and there was a reason for that. Sin lieth at the door. The truly spiritual heart is reverential and has a worshipful attitude. But when we come to the house of God, we come with a ready, with a worshipful attitude and with a reverential heart to God, recognizing who we're coming to. But when the saints, when the children of Israel should kneel down, they should turn towards Jerusalem and open up their arms and with their hands upward. We're coming before God, the Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. He who breathes the breath of life within us, who said we ought to praise him continually. To worship him. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna. Hallelujah, highest praise to God. Why is there so little rejoicing in the camp? Sin lieth at the door. I'm telling you. Because when God does a work in your heart and your body's presented a living sacrifice, and you read Exodus 25, it says, there, in the most holy place, I will meet with you and I will commune. There's no way that you can commune with the Almighty and not come in here with praise in your heart. But Moses came down from the mount. His face was shining. They couldn't even look on him. They had to put a veil over his face. There's no way he could come in contact with that electrifying source. But he'll animate you. Glory to God.
Oh, yes,
he'll animate you. But maybe even it's a quiet, you quiet individual. But when the Holy Ghost gets in your soul, God, but you will start leaving, praising God. You cannot remain the same because the Holy Ghost got expression deep within the soul. But you living right, you find the devil in your job, you find the devil by in a neighbor, you're going to see, find the devil, you find the devil driving your car. People cut you off, give you your finger, or you come in here and shock God with all spirit.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Come on with it.
Young people, you better cultivate this now. The Lord give you victory, you better learn to shout. Don't worry about people seeing you lift up holy hands. Your life is right, but you need to learn to praise God. This little children in camp because it's sin.
Yeah.
There's no jumping in camp. There's no running around. It's sin. Let me light up a fire under somebody's seat. And you see what you're going to do. The Holy Ghost is a fire. It cannot be in your soul and there's no praise. You're a light. But you touch the burner. Ow! You just shouted. You didn't pray. You shouted.
Uh-huh. Come on.
You shouted.
Come on. Teach it.
Look. But I go to that gym. I see a guy get up there and get that dump. Boom. And he goes, yo! Uh-huh. Look, don't you come in here, be quiet on me. I'm telling you right, don't you come in here. You make your 3 pointers, one at one, two, three. I got it. Look at it. I'm on the roll. Well, you better come in and get on the roll over here. You better get on the roll over here. This is what counts. Not over there. This counts. Man, I tell you, sinners put you to shame. Man, you go to Madison Square Garden. Man, you go when people play baseball, it's a home run. Oh, it just hit a home run. What? What? Brother, my life is a home run, glory to God. My life is a home run. That's why I gotta be shouting, brother. Glory be to God. Glory, glory. Glory be to God. Come on. Your life is a home run. The Lord saved you from sin. You're in your right mind. Remember the man, the guy that was born blind, and the Lord opened his eyes? It's a marvelous thing been done.
Marvelous.
A marvelous thing. My God. The Holy Ghost said, we shall baptize you with fire. My God. But that fire will burn out every impurity in your life. You see what I said? You let it. You submit yourself to the fire. It will burn every impurity. But it'll make that filthy mouth become holy.
Thank you.
I'm telling you. It'll make that dirty, wicked imagination become holy.
Amen.
But you used to fornicate, you stop fornicating, glory to God. You used to commit adultery, you stop committing adultery. But God does not agree with boyfriend and girlfriend relationships. Amen. It's not of God. Does not agree with boyfriend girlfriend relationship. Ain't no girlfriend on social media either. Well, you won't be holy. You want me to represent your body. God says, I want your body. The one who's not married. The Bible says, okay, that you live to please the Lord. When you get married, you please the Lord. Through your husband, you please the Lord through your wife. Otherwise, your prayers gonna be hindered. Offering the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise, giving glory to God. Read Hosea 14, verse 2.
Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously.
Receive us graciously.
So will we render the calves
of our lips. You must praise God continually. Continually. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. He had made us kings and priests unto God. This is our second point. Praise can only be in your heart. God, come out your lips. Mm-hmm. What makes lying sin? Because God said it's sin. God said it's sin. Brethren, I tell you, God is concerned about every detail of your living. Do you understand that? Every detail. Brethren, you cannot, you have, if man can be so detailed, if you forget your, I forgot my passport one time. I thought I did, actually. I couldn't find it, actually. And I was in Jamaica. And they told me, did you make copies of your passport? How many of you have read your passport? Read it. So in other words, I couldn't get back to the States if I didn't find it. Wow, man, is that exact? Okay, we must be detailed as God is detailed. In our timeliness, we must show God we are so interested in his business in every area of life. So interested. God is concerned about our timeliness. We're telling God, I'm telling the boss, when I could, do you know on the job, I'm telling the boss, I don't care. Dock me. I don't care. Dock me. Well, you may say, well, we don't punch the clock. We sign regardless. God knows if you're signing, you're supposed to be your 8 o'clock. Yeah, 8:05, you're signing 8 o'clock. Ooh. You just lied. 5 minutes, put 805 and get docked. Look, this is serious. I'm telling you. Let me tell you why. I remember I was not working at that location, but I heard all about it. I saw the emails because I was a manager at the time. And then the IGs came around, an investigator came around. They looked at the sign and book. One person pre-signed his exit before time. Where is this guy? Couldn't find him, couldn't locate him. Man, is that exact? Really? They go straight to the signing book. Where are they? And then when they go to the signing book, where are your men? Where are your subordinates? Where are they? And go to the other guy. Where are your subordinates? Did some go home? Some here? Because as a supervisor, now you're responsible for that individual. Now, this individual was disciplined for pre-signing his exit tie. God is making me so. Well, what about God? You see, you may think it's okay. No, it's not okay with the Lord. It's not okay with the Lord. Man, is that exact? It's at the discretion of the supervisor. There's some jobs, it's very difficult to get terminated. But they say, if you steal, or if you're late, especially you're under probation. I had a gentleman that I requested. I went to my boss and I requested to extend his probation. I was not happy with his performance. Now, this is not a private company, okay? Union. So my boss says, listen, Ed, look, is he late? I said, no. I said, Ed, forget it. He said, if he was late, then you could extend his probation or do not give him a satisfactory so that he can be terminated. Do you understand? Do you understand? This is man. I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about man, man's policies. Verse 16. Let's try to close. Verse 16, Hebrews 13, 16.
But to do good and to communicate.
So another sacrifice of incense is telling us here what to do, right? Sacrifice of praise. And it goes on to say, to praise the God continually, okay? And it says also to do good and to communicate.
Forget not.
Okay. So another sacrifice of incense is communicate, right? Mm-hmm. Forget not. To communicate, forget not. The Bible talks about good works. Wasn't Dorcas one of good works? Was Dorcas one of good works? To maintain good works. Read for me, please. 1 Timothy 6, verse 18.
That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate.
See? That they do good. Go from verse 17. We're going to get a little better.
Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate.
Okay. Rich in good works. Read for me, please, Titus 2:7. Let's get a little bit of picture of that.
In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works.
Ooh, a pattern. Not sometimes. A pattern. As we look at your actions and your fruit, there's a pattern. Oh my goodness, you're always there. Good works. What else?
In doctrine, uh-huh. Showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned.
There seems to be so much about this conversation and the speech, so much about that. Okay, so much about it.
That he that is of the contrary part.
In all things, in everything you do, showing thyself in everything. God help us, Lord. In everything, in dealing with my children, in dealing with my wife, in dealing with my neighbor, in dealing with my coworkers, in dealing with anyone in the street, in going to the store, in purchasing, in everything, in dealing with the brethren, in everything, showing thyself a pattern of good works. I'm not stingy. I don't mind showing you what I know. I don't mind. Well, I'm an open book. I'm a glass door. There's transparency. We're standing on a sea of glass. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness. I'm in the food line serving food. That's why we got to be consecrated and sanctified. I'm serving food. I give my friend the best piece of meat. I give the other one the backbone because I don't like it. That's not a pattern of good works. Others may not see it, but God sees it. You both ask me for a ride. I like you more. I give you the ride, but I won't give you the ride. And the one that I like more is far away. There's no understanding about liking. The Bible says, love one another as Christ has loved you. That's Bible. Love, like Christ's love, is Bible, brother. May God help us to love as Christ loved. Lord, teach us to love one another. Teach us. Help us to understand what love is. And we're not talking about the love of the world. That's easy. We're not talking about giving your children what they need. No. Talking about love of God, the love that reaches, that unconditional love, it reaches to the heart. It cares for the soul of man. It cares for the soul of every man. I come in contact with every man I care for. Souls, we care for souls. Presenting your body, living sacrifice, is to do the work of God on earth like what he did. What he did. Unselfish in anything you do, you're unselfish. You're ready to do good wherever you go. You're ready to do the work of Christ wherever you go. That is up paramount in your mind. I'm here to do God's service. I'm here. I'm a servant. I'm a servant. Your body, a living sacrifice. My eyes, my ears, my hands. My members, everything is to glorify the Almighty. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Hey, people do some things, but they're not sincere. Sincerity, sound speech. That cannot be condemned. My yea is my yea, my nay is my nay, and I'm not trying to deceive you in any which way. I'm not trying to embellish my story or color myself. It is what it is. I got the Lord to deal with, the God of the spirit of all flesh. I've got God to deal with. I don't want to embellish my story. God knows my heart. He sees me. I don't have to show anything. You know, to communicate back to 13:17. And we're going to end there.
Hebrews 13, 17.
Yes.
Obey them that have the rule over you.
16, I'm sorry. Now, that's a good one too. 16, please.
But to do good and to communicate, forget not.
You know, to communicate is to give. It is to give. To give to others. We are servants, brethren. Do you realize the world helps others most times for the good that they can receive? You're my friend because you're my associate. I don't need you if I cannot get anything from you. God does not think that way. No. Bible says, scripture left my mind, by being wise. We need to be wise. We don't want to cast our pearls among swine. Let's be wise in what we do. Let's have that situational awareness about us. Let's be wise. Okay. At the same time, we ought to have a heart to do good to every man. When I say men, I'm generalizing men and women to do good. Wherever I go, I'm here to do good. I'm here to help. I'm here to help. I'm not so concerned about me, myself, and my household. And don't care about anybody else. Where do you find yourself this morning? Present your bodies. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Did you die? Did you die? Did the old man die? There's a level of consecration, brethren, as I read to you some time ago from a little track about the level of dedication. And I thought it was so good. My ears, my eyes, my hands, my feet, my all, and my means. I am exclusively God's. For God to do with me what he wants. Do you know what God wants from you? Do you know? If you don't read and study, how will you know? Let us all stand, please. Are you sold out? Is there any self on board? Is there anyone you cannot treat with love? Is there anyone at all you just cannot treat with love? I'm talking about the love of God, the love of God. Is there anybody at all you're having a hard time dealing with? The Bible says, love ye one another as Christ has loved you, to love one another just the same way. Present your body a living sacrifice. Is your all on the altar? Can you sing that first, please? Is your all on the altar? Is your all on the altar? Is your all? I mean, your all, everything. You have to place yourself on the altar first. And then your wife, your children, and your all. Everything on the altar. Young people, is your all on the altar? God says, I want to let God consume every impurity. Every corruption, every pollution, consume it, Lord, consume it. Let the ashes fall. Consume. Have you been consumed? Or are you still alive? Is that old man still alive? Is the body of sin still alive? Is it?
141 in the hymnal. 141 in the hymnal.